You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrat.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we'll talk ice cream and other frozen treats for this week's Food Friday.
First, have you ever seen Milwaukee's city flag? Did you even know the city had a flag? It does, but plenty of people aren't exactly impressed by it. The flag, which was adopted in the 1950s, tries to cram a whole lot of Milwaukee into one design. Here's design expert and flag lover Roman Mars describing Milwaukee's flag in a 2015 TED Talk.
It's a kitchen sink flag. There's a gigantic gear representing industry. There's a ship recognizing the port. A giant stalk of wheat paying homage to the brewing industry. It's a hot mess.
Harsh words, for sure. And our next guest thinks Milwaukee can do better when it comes to its flag. Over the last year, he's led an effort to redesign the city flag. It's culminated in a design contest, which got over 1,000 entries for new flags and has now been whittled down to just 5. And the winning entry will be announced on Tuesday. And yes, that is Flag Day.
Steve Kotis joins us now. He's the design director and creative lead at the People's Flag of Milwaukee. He's joining us to talk more about this effort. Steve, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, before we get to the new designs in this context, let's talk about the current flag of Milwaukee. We just heard it described as a hot mess. What do you see when you look at it?
I see a list of inventory from a particular point in Milwaukee's history, more than I do a true symbol of pride and unity.
And why do you think it's important for Milwaukee to have a flag that's well-designed and emblematic of what the city is? Does it matter?
Well, I think this is something we need to see in every city. I mean, as it goes, city flags are meant to represent a city in some sort of symbolic way. And then when we get to the state level, we see that states have flags. And then, of course, you know, countries have flags. So, you know, if we take a really big step back and think about what flags really are, I like to think of them as sort of a universal language, sort of like love, sort of like mathematics. They're universally acknowledged and they're universally sort of agreed upon and used. And so when we get down to the city level, you know, civic pride is something that is good in all places. And that doesn't exclude Milwaukee. So with regard to Milwaukee, I believe that it's a great city and we have a very bright future. And the time has truly come to create a symbol for that and a symbol that pays respect to the past, but ultimately positions us for the future and is flown to show, you know, how much we love this city.
And it sounds like you want to avoid what we just heard described as the kitchen sink approach to flag making. Well, there's breweries, so you have the grain of wheat. You have a baseball stadium. Better put that on there, even though it's the one that's closed now. You don't want to have a whole bunch of literal items to describe Milwaukee.
Yeah, so if we get really specific and talk about all the technical things that make flags good, they are, you know, first and foremost, they're meant to be seen from a great distance. So considering that, only simple designs are truly effective as flags. And in the case of Milwaukee, we have a very, you know, literal representation with very specific iconography. And it works well for some sort of fixed medium, such as, you know, a T-shirt design or maybe a mural. Something where you can see it, it's stationary, you don't see it from its backside, all of these things. So with that in mind, it really sort of falls short. And in turn, because it's so complex, it's hard to produce. It's hard to produce correct. And what we see now is that there are, you know, when you Google Milwaukee flag, what you're typically seeing is a modern day vectorized version that was recreated from the original flag. And as it goes, because it's so complex, things were lost in translation. And so ultimately, you know, we can't even produce our current city flag the way it was produced back in the 50s. And thus, it never really became a symbol of pride. And up until this last year, I don't think, 75% of Milwaukee or more Milwaukeeans probably didn't even know it existed because it really doesn't fly around town.
Well, tell us about this design contest and how it got started. Who's been part of it so far?
So after the famous TED Talk came out, which, you know, I was a part of well before the TED Talk came out. So our initiative didn't start because the TED Talk came out. You know, we were already in active talks with Roman Mars, but it really started out as just me. And I created a website and a Facebook page, and I spoke about it wherever I could speak to groups as small as 7 to 8 people. And I was really trying to find a bigger organization to latch on to that had a similar mission and belief about the flag and what it can do for the city. So that organization is Greater Together, and it's a nonprofit here in Milwaukee that is trying to create avenues and pathways and put a big welcome sign on Milwaukee's creative industries, because as it is right now, our creative industries, which encompass not only design and advertising, but architecture and, you know, even when we get down to some fine arts, it's very white and it's very male. And as we know, Milwaukee's a very diverse city. So we're trying to get in front of our youth, specifically kids of color, to show them that design and the creative industries are an option to make, you know, a professional job. And so our missions really aligned, and we partnered, and our partnership really allowed us to broaden the conversation. And we led design workshops all across the city at high schools, boys and girls clubs, middle schools and elementary schools, and even colleges where students are already studying design. So we were able to engage the public in a very authentic way where, you know, there's no money being exchanged, and the only thing that we're trying to do is to get them to think about, you know, what is the city that they live in? What are some things that make our history? And ultimately, what's the city we want for the future? What do we want to become? So that's really how it grew, and it was a very organic growth. And you know, from there we tapped not only, you know, these kids and these workshops, but the general public as well through social media and a campaign. And we garnered over 1,000 flag design entries from the general public.
We're talking to Steve Kotas, driving force behind an effort to make a new Milwaukee city flag. And Steve, 1,000 entries, you're down to 5 now. We've got those linked on the Central Time Facebook page. The very striking thing, you look at those 5 versus the current flag, much simpler, much cleaner designs. Is that something you were hoping to get out of this process?
Of course it was. And we created a very succinct sort of creative brief in the form of a design kit, which is really just a PDF that we had on our website, which illustrated the 5 basic flag design principles. It gave forth some historical considerations to start from, geographical considerations, as well as examples of city and country flags that are considered to be very good. And so in return from the public, the bar was set really high. And I think that really speaks to the untapped talent of Milwaukee. And we had a judge that we flew in from Portland, and you can hear him as well in the TED Talk. His name is Ted Kaye, and he is a vexillologist, which is the vexillology is the study and the history of flags. And he really acted as our coach in the judging process. And he said multiple times when we finally got all 1,000-plus designs spread out, you know, he couldn't believe at the quality of the breadth of designs. Typically when a competition like this garners that many submissions, usually 800 are just, you know, kind of out. But we had our work cut out for us because they were all very good.
I love the word vexillologist. Yeah. That was a new one. Yeah. So that the study and history of flags and looking again at Milwaukee's flag. So it sounds like it's still up in the air, pardon the pun, whether or not the winning flag would actually replace the current flag. The Common Council apparently would have to decide on that. But are you hopeful that they're going to consider this, Steve, as we wrap up?
I'm very hopeful. And, you know, we had an announcement on May 14th at City Hall. The mayor was there. The Common Council president was there. They announced the finalists. So they're very aware of what we're doing, very supportive. But we've been given no 100% guarantee at this point in time that, yes, they're going to adopt the winning design. And you know, in a sense, so be it for now, because we've really positioned this and ourselves as the people's flag. And the city will continue for a time to have the city flag, and we will be making it possible for people to purchase and fly the people's flag. So I guess time will tell which one you start seeing more.
Steve, thanks a lot, and we'll watch for the unveiling of the winner on Tuesday.
Thank you so much.
That's Steve Kotas, Design Director and Creative Lead at the People's Flag of Milwaukee. You can check out the top five designs, the finalists in the contest. There's a link at the Central Time Facebook page.
Coming up after the news, it's getting hot outside, and not that we really need an excuse, but we're going to delve into the magical world of ice cream next as part of this week's Food Friday. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Getting hot inside, too, by the way. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.